You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, Donald Trump's temporary pick for the Federal Reserve Board. We take a closer look at profit numbers from Nick Scali and QBE to find out what they say about the economy, and a closer look at the ASX and merger and acquisition activity. All of that and more next. Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 8th of August, 2025. It's a day where the share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 off by 0.3%. Don't forget, though, for the week, it has gained 1.7% with a record day on Wednesday. Today, though, the losses were pretty mixed, because what we saw were 6 of the 11 sectors on the 200 lower. Healthcare the worst, down 1.46%. Materials the best. A quick look at the best and worst performers. IRS was the best performer, up 12% on takeover talk. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Followed by Afterpay owner Block, which rose 9%. The worst performer, Clarity Pharmaceuticals, down 13%, and Light and Wonder 11% weaker. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Heath Moss, equities advisor at HLM Investors. Heath, what's driving the markets today, and how are Donald Trump's tariffs affecting investors? Because about 90 countries are now affected.
Yeah, we had a mixed lead from the US overnight. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was up a bit, whilst the Dow and the S&P 500 were down marginally. And we didn't really have any major corporate or macro data to bounce off of. As we speak, I think the XJO is down marginally. Led down mainly by the financials, surprisingly tech, with resources, gold and utilities providing some uplift. And like you said, there might be some nervousness around the tariff situation, with the reciprocal tariffs coming into effect overnight. The effective rate has jumped to 15% now, from 2.3, and I think it was around 12.5% a couple of weeks ago. Plus, we've got other tariffs still to be spoken about, pharmaceuticals. Trump has spoken about that quite a bit. That's not been implemented yet. We've still got the China situation, where we don't know if they've got the 90-day extension again. And then the India situation simmers in the background as well. We don't know how far tariffs will go there. They still seem a bit resilient and staunch in their stance. So, but overall, I think where we've come from April and May, I think the markets have come to peace with the tariff situation and have been able to price in most of the risk associated with it. So unless there's something major and unexpected that comes out from one of those situations I just stated, I don't think it will weigh too much on the markets in the near term. And in fact, I think the ASX 200 is probably more focused on the local reporting season, which, you know, gathers more steam next week.
Before we talk about reporting season, just back on the global economy and US interest rates, right? Donald Trump announcing a temporary Federal Reserve governor in Steven Miron. He's been critical of the central bank and has been echoing Trump's calls for lower rates there. Is this a sign? And of course, he's just a temporary member on the Fed Reserve Board, so not replacing Jerome Powell, who's the chair. Is this a sign, though, that Trump will be looking for someone on his side to replace Powell in the future next year? And what will it mean for rates in the US economy?
Yeah, look, Trump has made no secret about how he feels about the current Fed board and Powell in particular. He's with his ambitions to get the cash rate lower and to help his current policy. So I don't think it's any surprise that we saw, you know, he's one of his current economic advisors in Steven Moran nominated to replace Adriana Kugler, who was stepping down early. Moran has similar opinions to Trump, like you said, and on the economy and rates, et cetera, and where they should be. So it's not unexpected that Trump has put him up for that. You know, as for Powell's replacement, Trump is keeping his cards close to his chest there. But current board members such as, you know, Waller and Bowman are sort of auditioning for that spot, being the only two that voted for a cut last month, as opposed to everyone else, you know, voting for a hold. So aligning themselves more with, you know, what Trump wants. But regardless of who Trump picks to replace Power in May next year, the market assumes it will be someone who has, you know, similar economic principles to him and, you know, aligns with his policy. And obviously this is probably bullish for, you know, markets and economies overall, because, you know, lower rates means cheaper debt, which is great for earnings, you know, see earnings grow faster. We all know about the US government debt, and they're currently paying about $900 billion a year annually in interest payments. So, you know, when they're reissuing and rolling over that debt, if they can do it at a lower rate, then that means lower payments. And that goes to a long way to getting that deficit down for them.
Okay, you mentioned corporate reporting season. Two numbers I want to talk about today. The first one is on the consumer side of things and a retailer, and that's Nick Scali. What's interesting is that it posted a near 30% slide in full-year profit. Its share price, one of the best performers today so far. Can you run us through why and what Nick Scali is telling us about the consumer? Because I think what's interesting is that while the numbers were down, it's seeing a better second half. And didn't the company also say that July sales, they're up almost 8%, so that July number isn't in those financial year numbers, and sales revenue for the Q1 of 2026 is expected to be up. Promising outlook, what does it say about the consumer and then the implication for interest rates here?
Yeah, look, Nick Scali is one of the market darlings and is generally viewed as pretty positive overall. And their report, and it comes down to expectations, and their report did meet expectations. It was in line. Like you said, profits fell around 25% to 62 mil. They had about an 11 million drag on there from their UK side of the business, so that made it look worse. So the Australian New Zealand side was around 73 million profit. Revenue was up 6%. Gross margins were steady, which is good. So cost impacts aren't impacting too much. Inventories remained in line with full year 24, which is positive. But I think, like you said, the market got really excited about their comments around the start of full year 26. I mentioned July sales were up 7.7% overall and up 7.2% like for like. They want to open 5 more stores this year, which obviously helps their revenue. And then obviously they've also said that Q1 sales and revenue is expected to be higher than last year. So that's a pretty solid and strong statement to make already after only 1 month of trade. However, also I think the market's excited about the sort of the new macro outlook in Australia and what the company said. Like you said, second half sales were much higher than the first half sales. So they're building momentum and seeing a better Australian consumer. So obviously with, you know, the thinking of rate cuts coming in the second half of this year, higher wages, a better overall situation for the Australian consumer, that hopefully will lead to more discretionary spending. And we also saw last week that in the household consumption data, that furniture and household good spending was up and up strong. It was one of the leaders. So maybe the assumption there would be this continues and Nick Scali would be a net benefactor from that.
Okay, on the flip side, QBE numbers, profits really rose, but the market didn't like it. It fell. Run us through why.
Yeah, it's a bit of a head scratcher. I thought the QBE numbers were really strong and actually quite good, and I'm pretty sure they beat forecasts on most metrics. Net profit was up 28%, revenue was up 4%, gross written premium was up 6%, and they lifted the half-year div from 24 cents to 31 cents per share. So to me, it looked really good, but the market reaction sell-off, I think it's for two reasons. One, maybe the market wanted a little bit more detail in their full year outlook. It was very vague and there wasn't much detail to it. So maybe the market was looking for a little bit more there. But also QBE has been one of the best performers for the ASX 200 to start the year, up 22%. So even though earnings are still growing, the multiples of the stock it trades on has also grown. So some maybe consider it stretched. And this, you know, when this happens, you have to really blow the market away with your numbers and results to maintain that momentum. So maybe that's why some money was taken off the table. But I dare say when analysts, you know, you look at those numbers today and tonight and, you know, more is said on Monday, we may see a bit of a rebound.
Wouldn't mind spending a moment talking about your take on the state of the ASX and the share market, right? IRES, the financial software company, confirmed it received a takeover approach. So there's the potential, if it goes ahead down the track, that another Australian company comes off the boards of the ASX, right? It comes as a Domain left the boards yesterday. What does this say about the local share market at the moment and opportunities for companies?
Well, I think one, I think merger and acquisition, consistent merger and acquisition action is healthy for a market. It gives investors another reason to invest and hold on, and actually proves that we have good quality companies on the ASX as well, because obviously other companies are wanting to buy them and buy them cheaply. I think at the moment it's a little bit unique because there's a sustained, unusually low Australian dollar, making it cheaper for international companies to take advantage of this and make these takeovers and make them even cheaper than they were, say, you know, 12 months or 2 years ago. You mentioned Domain Group, obviously getting a takeover offer, but we've also seen bids for like CSR, Illumina, Boral, Altium, et cetera, in the last 12 to 18 months. So unfortunately, sometimes we lose a quality company, but shareholders generally win out with a premium price in the end. If you look at IRES, it may be a bit of a lifeline, as it has been performing poorly, you know, from a financial perspective and a stock price perspective, and it may help prop up the share price. The stock traded as low as $5 last November, and the Blackstone bid, which was withdrawn, was $10.50, so much higher than that, obviously. So it sounds like IRES and Blackstone are still in discussion. So this means that IRES could still end up in the hands of Blackstone later in the year, but it should at least provide some support and a floor for the stock itself.
And finally and quickly, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, I mean, what I'm telling you, the valuations are stretched, basically. So we have to be a little bit more picky with what we buy. Most of the gains in the ASX 200 have been from multiple expansion rather than, you know, earnings growth. I think this earnings reporting season, we'll find that it'll be the third year straight where earnings have gone backwards. So not the best situation, but full year 26 is actually looking a lot better. But however, there are always opportunities out in the market, and you're just going to be more picky. I think the resources and energy sectors are very cheap on a long-term basis. So they look really good here, especially if we keep an eye on gold over the next week or a few months, because, you know, if the US dollar continues to weaken, we could see the gold price move up higher to new records. And obviously this benefits our gold miners, which have frankly underperformed, some of it, you know, of their own doing due to production misses and higher costs, et cetera, but it will give them a chance to catch up. In the discretionary retail space, you know, outside JB Hi-Fi and Wesfarmers, which both look very expensive, there's a lot of small to mid-cap retailers out there that don't look too bad on a longer-term basis and quite cheap. Healthcare is another space. I think that's being held back because everyone's waiting to see what Trump does with these pharma tariffs. So I think that space is looking quite downtrodden and good value over the long term. And then overseas, and this is mainly because we don't really have much exposure here, that the AI trade I still see performing very, very well. Names like NVIDIA, Microsoft, Google, et cetera, still outperforming the main indices for a few years to come.
That is Heath Moss there from HLM Investors. Next week, big week, the Reserve Bank begins its two-day board meeting on Monday. We'll get that interest rate decision on Tuesday. Profit reporting season also rolling on. Some of the big ones include the Commonwealth Bank, Telstra, just for example. And we've also got some economic news, wages data coming out on Wednesday and jobs numbers Thursday. Perhaps the Reserve Bank would have liked to have seen it before the RBA meeting, but a full rate cut of 25 basis points is expected. We'll find out next week. Don't forget, though, if you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe. See you next week.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.